For everything there is a season. I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If my math is correct, we are gathered here today on the sixth day of Christmas. It is thought that the six geese a-laying that are immortalized in song on this day are emblematic of the 6 days of creation. These are the 6 days of God's creative work that forever set in motion the rhythms of life as we know it. The cycles of light and dark, which give us the day and the night. The cycles of sun and moon, which give us the recurring seasons. The cycles of seed time and harvest. The cycles of life and death. This is the natural order of things. It operates outside our human control. This is simply the way things are. This, of course, means that in any moment in time, we find ourselves located somewhere within these natural cycles. Or perhaps stated more explicitly, it means that everything and everyone, including all of us, are in the process of moving toward our end. There was once an ancient teacher of wisdom whose name in Hebrew was Kohelet. When translated into Greek, his name becomes Ecclesiastes. This wise teacher had a keen understanding of the cycles of nature and their impact on human behavior. Some call Kohelet the ultimate cynic. 38 times in the biblical text that bears his name, he writes, "All is vanity." That is, in the face of the unrelenting cycles of life and of nature, anything we humans do in attempt to change it is in vain. It is hopeless. We are powerless and foolish even to try. And yet the teacher does not leave us there. In the passage that Whiting read for us this afternoon, Kohelet rather poetically catalogs all the various seasons of life. There are 28 of them, to be exact, each arranged in sharp contrast to the other, breaking down, building up, weeping, laughing, mourning, dancing, the list goes on. All of these statements are fundamentally true and undeniably part of our human experience. Note that the list begins with what is perhaps the most challenging of those pairings, birth and death. The reality that one day we are born into this world and inevitably one day our life in this world will end. For Kohelet, accepting this reality was not simply a fatalistic exercise in futility. To the contrary, the great teacher reminds us that the creative cycles of the universe were set in motion and are sustained by God alone. With God as the prime mover, the whole creation unfolds according to its own inner logic and set of reasons which are beyond our human understanding. Only God knows the logic and the reason of our existence. In the face of this knowledge, human beings have a clear choice. According to Kohelet, we can either waste our precious time and energy railing against this reality, or we can embrace it. If Whiting had kept reading 5 more verses, we would have received Kohelet's very practical theological advice, and I'm quoting here. The best thing to do is to be happy and enjoy yourself for as long as you can. This is God's gift The beloved child of God that we have gathered to remember this day could have written these last lines. Hyde Tennis was nothing if not philosophical and practical about life and faith. She lived long enough and had enough life experience to be clear that indeed there is a season and a time and a purpose for her and for everything under God's heaven. Like Kohelet, she understood and accepted this truth not as a reason for sadness and despair, but rather as a call to embrace and celebrate the life we have been given, knowing that someday it will end, and knowing that even then, death does not hold the final word. The cycle continues. And celebrate life, she did. Her zest and zeal for living were infectious. Her energy and joy were contagious. Her spirit and great humor were irresistibly compelling. It is not that her life was devoid of challenges and sadness and grief. Rather, it seemed to be that her very nature was always to look for joy and to strive to be happy. To be in her orbit was always a great blessing. Her closest orbit, of course, was her large and beloved family. Her greatest joy and happiness was reserved for all of you. Her legacy is a legacy of love that is now entrusted to you. She loved the times when you were together. Part of the loving, life-giving cycle of her own life was anticipating your gatherings, treasuring them when they occurred, and then planning the next one. She traveled the globe, worked hard on her French, made and sent gifts, constantly communicated, all in an effort to stay connected to what was clearly a deep reservoir of love and joy, a reservoir of love and joy that was comprised of each of you. Another important orbit we've heard about this afternoon, that vast network of friends, intergenerational, across coasts. It always amazed me at Hyde's ability to maintain and nurture friendships from across the span of her life and all the places she lived. One memorable group of friends from her Western New York days called themselves the Buffalo Chips and held regular gatherings over decades of friendship. And that is just one of many groups. Hyde was part of book clubs long before they were fashionable. Nurturing the mind, along with nurturing important relationships, was a winning combination for her. She was a good and faithful friend. And of course, Hyde shared the center of her universe with her beloved. Friends for over 80 years, married for 67 of those years. Cabby and Hyde, Hyde and Cabby, it is difficult to say one without the other. Truly partners in life, truly partners for life. Hyde embraced the journey that they shared and adjusted to Cabby's many changing roles. At various times, she was married to a student, a military lawyer, a seminarian, a priest, a rector, a dean, a bishop. This was all in addition to her own evolving role, English teacher, devoted mother, successful real estate professional. Her brilliant mind and boundless energy made it all look so easy. She was often also the voice of reason. Having lived in Buffalo and after spending so much time in Mazama, you all certainly know that Cabby is undaunted by weather. Ever amused by the overreaction of inclement weather in Delaware, Cabby was never inclined to cancel events or close the diocesan office. I remember one winter we received an accumulation of snowfall quickly followed by an ice storm and sub-zero temperatures. Everything was coated with ice. It was decided that Cabby and I would ride together to work on that particular day. Hyde joined us in the driveway, all of us struggling to walk and to stand up bright. She came to suggest that perhaps the mission of the church might better be served by our staying home. Assured that all would be well, Cabby backed the blue Volvo station wagon out of the garage, and it became immediately clear to all three of us that we were not going anywhere. The tires had no traction, and now it was uncertain whether or not we'd be able to get the car back into the garage. It was one of those awkward marital moments. Without speaking, Hyde and I tried to stay standing while at the same time pushing the car from behind, but made no progress. It was then decided that what was needed was some weight over those back wheels. So she opened the latch, Hyde and I crawled in, closed the latch, and laid down on our back, staring at the ceiling. The icy chill inside the car was colder than it was outside. Hyde tried to stifle her giggles. I tried to be invisible. Eventually, we started to move, gathered some forward momentum, and fishtailed our way back into the garage. Once safely inside, the car erupted in laughter, Cabby laughing the loudest. Most of all, however, we remember Hyde as the ultimate entertainer. She was the complete package and a marvel to behold. Whether impromptu gatherings or what I used to call state dinners at the Bishopstead, there was an ease and elegance and always the finest hospitality. She kept a tin of cheese straws always at the ready, could make a feast out of most any ingredients and at a moment's notice, and with Hyde it was always the more the merrier. I remember in those days there were a couple of times of year that she would plan a week full of dinner parties, one after the other, several days in a row, doing everything herself. She would repeat the menu, but the guest list changed every evening. Being a member of the diocesan staff and living next door, we were sometimes called upon to fill out a table, sometimes at the last minute. I can honestly say we never tired of it. Each dinner was its own unique gathering, always fresh, always alive, interesting people, filled with lively conversation, and of course, absolutely delicious food. There is also a playful side to all of this. One particular occasion comes to mind. We had just completed an especially grueling season of work, and it was decided that we needed to celebrate and hold a party for the diocesan staff. And not just any party, this was to be a themed party. It was a toga party. Much more tame than it sounds, it was nevertheless great fun. The one thing I remember about the evening is that Cabby, who was accustomed to wearing long robes and not accustomed to wearing a shorter costume that rose to his knees when he sat down. The entire evening was punctuated by Hyde shouting across the room, "Mind the gap, Cabby, mind the gap." At which time Cabby would dutifully sit up straight, straighten his skirt, put his knees together until the next time he needed to be reminded. Whether you were a future president, Julia Child, or a church sexton, there was a place at Hyde's table. All were welcomed, all included. Being a guest at Hyde's table was in so many ways a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, a banquet that she now enjoys and blessedly one she did not have to prepare herself. In John's Gospel, we are told that it is Jesus who goes ahead of us to prepare our place. He is the one who in this Christmas season we remember who came among us to share our humanity so that we might share in his divine life. He is the one whose life, death, and resurrection completes and fulfills the cycles that Koheleth observed, forever drawing Hyde and you and me and all of creation back into the heart of God from whence we have come. Whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we feel we deserve it or not, the promise is true. It is God's loving nature and beyond our human control. It is simply the way things are. I'm honored to be numbered among Hyde's many friends and admirers. And I close my time, in addition to this sermon, I close my time with a letter from one of her other friends and admirers. This letter is dated today, December 30th, 2022. Dear Tennis family, Jill and I offer our heartfelt condolences as you mourn the loss of your beloved Hyde. We are keeping you in our prayers during this difficult time. As you think about all that Hyde meant to you and to so many others, I hope you find comfort in what will never be lost, the love you had for Hyde and the love she had for all of you. Bishop Tennis, may you and your children let that love be a source of your strength. I know how hard it is to lose a piece of your soul, but she is always with you. Hyde was truly a light. She was an integral part of our Delaware community, and for as long as I've known her, she was always welcoming people into her home with open arms, including me. Her legacy lives on through you, the many lives she touched, and all the goodness she brought to our world. I know it won't be easy going into the new year without Hyde by your side, but I promise you the day will come when the memory of Hyde will bring a smile to your lips before it brings a tear to your eye. My prayer for you is that this day comes sooner rather than later. From a hymn in my church based on the 91st Psalm, may he raise you up on eagle's wings and bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. May God bless Hyde. With sympathy, Joe Biden. For everything, there is a season. I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.